Sportsnet today. Listen on the air, online, on the Sportsnet app, and always on your smart speaker. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, Calgary.
All right, how we doing? Happy Wednesday. Another edition of Sportsnet today coming your way with Logan Gordon and Riley Pollock. Live from the Iconic Studios in downtown Calgary. Brought to you by our good friends at Iconic Electric and Controls. Busy show for you today. Flames still off until tomorrow when they get back in game action. But they were at practice today before traveling out to California. Get you some audio from the Dome. Daryl Sutter, Rasmus Anderson, Trevor Lewis coming your way. After 1 o'clock, we'll be joined by Sam Cosentino. Doing some color commentary for Sportsnet this year, but of course, NHL, CHL draft analyst for Sportsnet. Imagine we'll have a thing or two to talk with Sam about. Brendan Lemieux gets a 5-game suspension. It was a wild night of comebacks last night in the NHL. Lots to get to on the program today. I'll quickly say hello to my co-host, Riley Pollock. Riles, how you doing today, Bow?
Doing well. It's like first Christmas for me today, Logo. Seeing that World Junior roster come out. My favorite time of the year.
Yes, it's coming up. The 35 players that will be coming to Calgary for Team Canada selection camp beginning on December 9th. That list was announced today by Team Canada. I imagine our next guest was pretty excited to hear about that, and I'm sure we'll jump into that with him next. Let's chat with Peter Labardius.
Flames Insider, Peter Labardius, brought to you by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Your home renovations should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group, now offering Air Miles Reward Miles. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
Still coming at us from the nation's capital, I believe. How are we, Lou?
Yes, I'm fabulous. It might be better than fabulous today.
How was your day yesterday at the Capital City Challenge?
Well, it was terrific. It's an outstanding group of 05-born Canadians. You will be hearing a lot of their names in under-18 and World Junior events coming up in the next couple of years. I really like this class of 66, 67 players that I had an opportunity. I've watched a number in the past, especially the guys from the West, but it was a great opportunity to see players from the Quebec League and players from the Ontario Hockey League. And, you know, the other part that was probably truly the highlight of yesterday was in semifinal number 2, it matched our women's team against the team that had clearly dominated the round robin, and that was Team Black, led by Zach Benson of the Winnipeg Ice, and Cal Ritchie, who's had a wonderful start to a 16-year-old year with the Oshawa Generals. And, you know, the kids jumped out to an early 3-0 lead, and then the women dug in and showed their experience and battled back to tie the game at 3, and the kids were getting a little frustrated. You know, and the women were loving every second of trying to pull off what would have been, you know, a relatively significant upset. And longtime Canadian women's national team veteran Rebecca Johnson had the game on her stick, a breakaway coming out of the box with about 49 seconds left. She got stopped. The game went to overtime, and on about as beautifully executed a play as you could have, 11 seconds in, the 16-year-olds won the game. But it was a great showcase of hockey. And, you know, I just wish, Logan, in a lot of ways, more people could have seen it from the women's perspective, because it was a great show. And, you know, they've had a very extensive, tough schedule. They've been to Finland. You know, they've got the rivalry series going with the United States. And this competition has been great, and efforts like last night are really going to bode well for Beijing.
That's really good to hear. I'm glad that you enjoyed it. I know there was another part of your day today that we'll get to coming up in just a little bit here, as Hockey Canada announced their World Junior selection camp. But I want to bring it back to the Calgary Flames for a couple before we dive into some Team Canada with you. And the Flames back at practice today, getting set for LA tomorrow as they kick off this four-game road trip out west. And Flames lines and pairings haven't changed much. I mean, the back end really hasn't changed since game three or four, really, with the exception of Valimaki and Zadorov changing in and out at certain times. I'm interested in this perspective of keeping things the same, Lou, and this isn't meant to be a slight to any other Flames coach, whether it be Gullitson or Peters or anybody like that, but Daryl Sutter and his commitment to consistency with his lines and the fact that even if things maybe aren't going their way, he doesn't always hit that panic blender button on his lines. What goes into that from his perspective and from a coach? Because we've seen it so often here in Calgary that, look, we're kind of having an off night, time to throw them in the blender and see what can come up with it. That's not Daryl's style.
Well, it's not Daryl's style for sure, but again, has this team not led the NHL in leading in games so far this season?
They have.
They have. So, you know, again, I'm not defending anybody else or taking anything away. I mean, I've talked on a daily basis about, you know, Daryl and what he's done and the structure and the accountability. And, you know, he's a heck of a hockey coach, and he's always been a terrific hockey coach. So, you know, that part of the equation, you know, has always been the same, and he's had a real significant impact. However, there hasn't been a great need, at least not from my vantage point, to go to the blender. They've barely been behind. They've been the ones that have been dictating. You know, they have had the ability to stay with their groups and not change, because their groups and most of the individuals, not all, have done their jobs really well more often than not. Now, is it perfect? No, but it never is. But, you know, I guess in an odd way, or at least an incredibly truthful way, I just think this season is also very different, because we really haven't seen a stretch where a lot of change was needed to be made, and there hasn't been a lot of panicky type situations.
Yeah, so I guess the more game situation probably helps dictate that, right? If you're always out ahead of things, then probably the reason to change things up or the need to go there is, you know, dictated by game flow. And if you're up in the game, then it's hard to imagine that he wants to go ahead and change anything up if things are going his team's direction. And like you said, more often than not, it's sort of done that for the Flames.
But here's what I will say, which I probably should have started with. The management isn't necessarily in mixing up combinations. A lot of Daryl's best work is his feel for who's going and how minutes are distributed based on that. How you use people, how you get them out in certain situations, how you might not use certain guys. You know, it's not a situation either, Logan, where, you know, you've just taken your four groups and marched them out and in the same fashion every night. No. Every game has its own way of going. So, you know, instead of the big blender, at times, situationally, you know, it's not like the magic bullet's not been on the bench once in a while.
The four-game road trip starts for the Flames tomorrow in L.A., and there's been plenty of chatter this week leading up to it. Daryl Sutter returning to L.A. for the first time since 2018, when he had announced his retirement from coaching and was heading back to Viking, and easily the most successful stop for him on his coaching list, where he won two Stanley Cups. I remember he came in 2011, I believe, took over for Terry Murray, who was coaching the Kings at the time, and obviously left a great impression in L.A. I imagine it'll be a special return for Daryl to a place where he had lots of success as a coach.
Well, two Stanley Cups. Did a fabulous job you know, steering that group, hard to win, you know, had some great battles to win those few championships. You know, one of the best NHL playoff series I've probably ever witnessed in recent years was that 2014 Western Conference Final that went to seven games between the Kings and the Chicago Blackhawks. You know, that was the two best teams in hockey going toe-to-toe, you know, the Blackhawks winning, or, you know, the other group outside of Boston in 2011, right through 2015. So, you know, it was a wonderful time. And I heard this the other day, and I'm, you know, glad I get a chance to talk about it. I wasn't in town today, obviously, to hear what Darryl had to say. My guess is, I don't know. I look forward to hearing it when you guys play it myself. But, you know, I would think for Darryl, and not just the winning, but his time in L.A. with his family, you know, with his son, Chris, you know, who is a really, really fun part as he's becoming again at every home game in Calgary. I just get a kick out of his enthusiasm and his love and, of being there. I just, you know, my guess is for that family and Darryl's wife, it's a great time, you know, great time. And Darryl on game days is Darryl on game days, which is what makes him really good on game days. You know, he's not usually big for reflection and, you know, great memories. But, you know, a couple of the players have been asked, including Milan Lucic, on how he thinks it might be for Darryl going back.
I'm sure you guys will ask him and he'll give a great answer. But, you know, I think it'll be fun for him, you know, because he obviously has some great memories in L.A., not just from accomplishing what he accomplished from a team standpoint, just also what it was for him and his family. And, you know, Chris, his son, was a huge part of that culture, too, and that fan base. And, you know, just even in that whole South Bay area of where the guys live. So I think he's looking forward to it, and I think it'll mean a lot to him. But when he gets into game day mode, he's in game day mode. So he's gonna definitely be fired up for that game.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. I don't know if our friend Mr. Pollock has a clip or two queued up from this morning. Maybe we'll get to that before the end of the hit, because I'm as curious as anybody to hear how Darryl may have answered those one or two questions today, which I'll be listening for. But, yeah, it's you know, there should be nothing but great feelings, great accomplishment. And I know this. You know, I've been around him long enough in a number of different situations now over the years to know nothing for him would ever compare to winning and winning the Stanley Cup.
Well, and to that point, there was a lot of, it was interesting hearing Pat and Will yesterday, and I hadn't thought about it because it's one of those things that maybe slips your mind in the pandemic, but I was sitting here thinking, you know, Lucic has spent time in L.A. There's plenty of Flames that have connections
Trevor
there.
Lewis,
yeah.
Brad Richardson.
Yeah, and then what Pat and Will brought up that I had unbelievably forgot about was Matthew Tkachuk and Drew Doughty. That rivalry, you know, suddenly comes into the forefront of your mind again. It's been that long. We've gone so long since these two teams have seen each other. There's a storyline or two that you can follow just about anything heading into tomorrow.
You know what? I usually do some heavy lifting in the planning department for a pregame show, as you guys know. Don't think I'm going to have to dig into too many bags of tricks to come up with a few storylines tomorrow. And on that very front, I don't know if you had an opportunity to listen to Mr. Doughty talk about his want and will to make the Olympic team. I know where he wants to be in February if the world and universe aligns and allows it. You know, I was just in a room where one camp was named. Well, Drew Doughty doesn't need much to be fired up, I don't think, when he plays against Matthew, but he's got some bigger fish to fry. He got off to a great start, and he definitely wants to be part of that 25-man roster to have an attempt to win just his third Olympic gold medal if he gets it.
Yeah, he really dipped his toe back in last night, Lou, in his first game back from,
16-17? It was a real struggle for him.
Yeah, only 27:55 on ice time last night.
That's all right. I'll miss, 3 weeks and come back. And he probably wanted more.
Probably did.
Yeah. I know he's not a very liked guy in the Calgary scene. I get it, but... to be frank, I love his competitiveness, and he's done a few good things for our nation over the years. So I just, when those two teams play and those two teams go at one another, I just kind of sit back and take it all in. It's a lot of fun.
We're chatting with Pete Labardius here on Sportsnet today. Flames and Kings coming your way tomorrow when the Flames start off a four-game road trip. 8:30 puck drop, 7:30 warm-up right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We'll get more into the Flames maybe a little bit later on in the hit, Lou, and we'll dive into it more tomorrow on a game day. But
for sure.
Definitely looking forward to having this chat with you. I know you were there this morning, and I know Riley's been buzzing to ask you some questions about it. So Hockey Canada announcing their World Junior Selection Camp roster today, the list of 35 under-20 players that will head to Calgary for selection camp beginning December 9th, so just 8 days away from those young men coming to Calgary. I thought we would work it this way, Riley and Lou. We'll start with the forward group, defense, and then goaltender, and we'll just sort of weed through what questions we have for you here, Lou. But the first one I wanted to talk to you about before we dive into that is three returning players from the team that won silver last year in Dylan Garand in goal, Caden Gooley, and Cole Perfetti. Just a thought on those three returning for Canada.
Well, I want to start with Perfetti because until I was in that room this morning, I didn't know what the situation might be with the Jets. And, he's spent the year with the Manitoba Moose and doing incredibly well. So, the Canadian in me, there might have been a little interior fist pump when I saw that name come up this morning on the screen. And apparently, according to chatting with Al Miller, the director of player personnel for Hockey Canada, and Dave Cameron, Cole is very, very excited to have an opportunity and another chance to erase what, was a really, really tough night on the team that didn't win and lost to a terrific American team last year in Edmonton. Gooley is having an outstanding year, the Montreal first rounder. I've said for many years in analyzing this tournament that, when our country has a really good defense, and again, we talk about it on this show, people who can check, and you have to check elite-level people, and there's lots of them, as there are in this tournament every year, you feel pretty good with a guy like Gooley. And even Logan, watching the summer camp, I've never seen him look better than he did at that camp. And, I might as well go there now on defense. And I should mention, yes, to have Dylan Garand back, I think, it's a unique situation. The goalies are set. It's done.
Yes.
They're going with three guys. They didn't bring anybody in. They clearly feel like they're the best guys. Brochu was in the hunt last year. Garand ends up as the backup to Devin Levi, who was just marvelous in the tournament, despite the fact that he played about four games with cracked ribs, if you can believe that. But that goaltending trio, I don't think they need anymore, because the competition level between those three, and don't leave out who might be the most purely talented guy, and that's Sebastian Cosa of the Edmonton Oil Kings and a first-round pick of Detroit at 6'6". With every tool in the box. Yeah, it's unique, but I'm not surprised.
As far as just one more general topic before we dive into the group specifically, there's a unique potential for this group to feature three first overall selections. Owen Power went first to the Buffalo Sabres. Many would project that Shane Wright will have that honor this coming draft in 2022. And then, of course, the question about Connor Bedard in 2 years, in 2023. Now, Connor has an uphill battle here. He would be the first 16-year-old since Sidney Crosby to make Canada's World Juniors team. But a unique opportunity here for some really talented Canadian players to find themselves on the same team this year in Red Deer and Edmonton.
Well, let's start with one of the reasons I like this team's chances of playing for the title again is Owen Power. Owen Power will try to become, to my knowledge, the second player or the first player since Patrice Bergeron did it back in 04 and 05 to win a world men's championship before he competes for a world junior championship. If you remember in Latvia, Mr. Power, who's excelling after opting to go back to the University of Michigan, was a very, very key member of Canada's gold medal winning team in Latvia. He just got better and stronger in his poise. And, you know, when the tournament gets to the playoff round, don't be surprised if it seems like Power and Gooley never come off the ice, because you're going to see a lot of those two guys in Edmonton at the World Juniors. So that's fabulous. You know, Shane Wright had that opportunity to be a 16-year-old last year and just didn't have the type of camp that he was hoping to have. And in some ways, and it was a very veteran, powerful, deep Canadian roster, you know, somewhat like this one. So, you know, it was very challenging for him to try to make it, but he'd be the first to tell you he just wasn't himself at that camp. And I think, including Logan at the summer camp that I watched a couple of games on video in August, Shane looks like he's maybe putting a little too much pressure on himself. He was brilliant captaining Canada to the World Under 18 title in Texas back in May. He's a wonderful player, does it all, smart, but I think he's put a lot of pressure on himself, and he isn't even off to probably the start people would have thought he would be off to in Kingston. It's almost a scenario where, and I wouldn't be surprised if this happens, somebody, you know, who makes big decisions on the team kind of whispers in his ear and goes, hey, take the pressure off. We're going to find a spot for you here. Everything's going to be okay. And as for Bedard, well, I will tell you this. You know, he's in tough, but I thought Al Miller today at the news conference had a great line. And it might be the best Connor Bedard line I've heard so far. And that is, and we saw it at the World Under 18 as a double underage, Connor Bedard's the type of player that can change a game in one play. So it's exciting. It's exciting. And his 05 group, of course, he's not here because, as you found out today, he's eligible to be in the tournament I'm at in Ottawa, but he's got some bigger fish to fry.
Lou, any surprise that Braden Jaeger's not on this list? He's looked really good this year. Good 200-foot game.
You know I love him.
Yeah.
And guess what? After yesterday, Riley, I might like him more than I already liked him. He was terrific. And, yes, he reminds me and others of Nathan MacKinnon. He skates. He's powerful. He shoots it a ton. And as I mentioned in a tweet last night or yesterday afternoon, you know, I was so impressed with his work without the puck. But, you know, you and I will be talking maybe about the World Junior at this time next year. Well, as a 17-year-old, I think he'll clearly be ready to be competing for that spot. But, you know, make no bones about it. No, I'm not surprised, but that doesn't take anything away from the fact that Braden Jaeger is going to play in a World Junior. The only way he won't is if somehow he doesn't find his way next year, and then he could very well end up in the NHL
yeah.
the year after as an 18-year-old. That's how good he is.
A lot of my questions here are about guys who are not on it, and that seems to be the way it goes on the day that the roster is announced. But what about Matthew Savoy? He leads the WHL in scoring as a 17-year-old. He's got 39 points.
Mm-hmm.
Any reason you think that maybe he's not on this camp list this year?
Riley, I've been asked these kinds of questions for 25 years, and I don't think my answers are always popular. But the hockey people that I talk to seem to be in agreement. So let me try to be as succinct as I can. Yes, a lot of players are terrific players in their league, and Matthew's a wonderful young talent. But you're not building an all-star team here. And, you know, we talk a lot about the Flames and slotting. Well, It's where you slot, and are you ready? Yes. Okay, at 17, is he a beyond dynamic player? Yes. Is he going to play in the NHL? Yes. Is he going to be on that team next year? Yes. Yes, yes, and yes. But is he ready right now for everything that goes hand in hand? Is he ready the ability to check elite-level people? Is he ready to be in a role where he might only play 9 or 10 minutes and have to play a certain way? He's very, very talented. He's not the biggest player in the world, but I know people get tired at some points, I'm sure, of me saying this. You want to win a World Junior? Yes. You need to have skill. This roster has lots of skill. The great separator at the World Junior year in and year out is, can you check? Can you check in all three zones? Can you check elite-level people? That, for me, is always the most important. Can you win face-offs? Can you kill penalties? Are you hard to play against? That's how I'd answer that question. Is he going to play next year? No doubt about it.
All righty. A couple more for me here. Seems like a pretty good year for the WHL, Lou. More WHL players than usual, it seems like. And a lot of them going to be the high-end players on this team.
Well, you know, it's a great run, Riley, and including the tournament that I'm watching now, the Capital City Challenge for the top 16-year-olds. Yeah, it's a fun time. Well, for some of us, it's been fun since I was 3, but it's a fun time to watch and be around the Western Hockey League. It's a really great cycle of players. You know, guys, 15 guys of the 35, that you're right. That's a big number. They're not all going to necessarily make this team, but, you know, some of them, be it a Carson Lambos, be it an Owen Zellweger on defense, you know, they're 18-year-olds. So in the West, Riley, really good age groups have kind of been 03, 01, and 05. And the West has had great players in those three age groups.
And just one last one for me. Not a whole lot of right shot defensemen on this camp list,
no.
Lou. Just two of them. Is that going to be a problem for this team, do you think?
It's a great question. I don't necessarily think so. Because, you know, Power, for example, is very comfortable playing on both sides. So that, you know, that takes care of one pairing for sure. No, I don't see it being a big issue. I really don't. It, you know, I mean, as we know, ideally you'd love left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, you know, to make up your 8, if that's the way it works. But, you know, there's guys there that are more than capable of playing the other side. But you're right. It's one of the things I looked at this morning too. It's left-handed heavy.
And last one for you here, Lou. We should mention it. It was brought up by Jeff Merrick yesterday, who hosts the Jeff Merrick Show prior to us coming on here, that Brant Clark would not be on this roster. It's raised a couple of eyebrows for a guy who was the eighth overall pick in 2021 and is leading the OHL in scoring for defensemen. Just a thought on why he might not have made this roster?
Well, the best way I can answer it is, there's more that goes into making these decisions than just points, assists, ability, and what happens on the ice. And let's just say I know some things, and he hasn't always performed. He's not a bad kid, so I'm not trying to paint it in that way, Logan. But this, for Brant Clark, will be incredibly hard to swallow. And in an odd way, the LA first rounder, this might be something that helps him be a great player down the road. That's what I'll give you.
Thanks for the time, Lou. Really appreciate it. Looking forward to more of these conversations as camp gets underway here, and we'll chat with you tomorrow on a game day. Okay.
Say hi to my big league and one of my favorite people on planet Earth, Mr. Cosentino, at the top of the hour.
Will do. See you, Lou.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye.
Flames Insider, Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Your home renovations should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group, now offering Air Miles Reward Miles. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
Peter Loubardias from the nation's capital. He'll be back in Calgary tomorrow, getting set for a Flames game day when they travel to LA to take on the Kings. Lots there from Lou of Flames practice today. No changes to their lines or D pairings. They'll travel to Los Angeles later this afternoon, get set for that 4-game road trip. We'll head to the Saddle Dome next, get you some audio post-practice. Daryl Sutter talking about his return to L.A. How does he feel ahead of that? Rasmus Anderson, Trevor Lewis as well. When the program returns, Sportsnet Today here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Back to Sportsnet Today on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Off a 4-game road trip tomorrow against the L.A. Kings. L.A. was in action last night, falling 5-4 in a shootout to the Anaheim Ducks. It'll be a special return to L.A. for a number of Flames players. We mentioned some of them there with Lou. But, of course, Daryl Sutter, coach of the team in 2 Stanley Cups. Trevor Lewis spent a lot of time there. And when you're going through what we've all gone through the last little while, it's hard to sometimes remember some of these storylines that go back so far. It'll be another addition of Tkachuk and Drew Doughty. Does that rivalry reemerge after some time off between the two? You know, you're back to being Pacific Division rivals this season. And a really important road trip for the Flames to see how they stack up against some really good teams in their division. LA's cooled off from a hot start, but they're still 9-8-4. The Sharks and the Ducks have both beaten you at home already this season. You have had very little success when it comes to playing Vegas in Vegas. Important road trip for the Flames, but an important one tomorrow for Daryl Sutter specifically, as he returns behind the bench for the opposing team into LA when he won 2 Stanley Cups and is remembered fondly in LA. He talked about that with the media following practice at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome earlier today.
What do you think it'll be like tomorrow to be back behind the bench at a building you're so familiar with?
I've been in the building several times since I coached there, so it'll be, you know, the best part for me is for sure the behind the scenes people, you know, early mornings, late nights, people you see a lot of or that you're there with a lot. That's what would stick out more than anything.
Brace yourself at all for any emotions, like a video tribute or round of applause or anything like that?
Nah, I'm pretty much a middle-of-the-road neutral. guy. Don't get too high, too low. So, you know, that's still the best part about being in the National Hockey League is going to those places and seeing a lot of, including the fans, including the people.
I know you watch a lot of hockey. What have you seen from the Kings so far this season?
I think they had a good club, not just because we're playing them. I think they have those four returning, or the four guys that won the two cups. They're still, you know, the central guys there, Kopitar, Brown, Doughty, and Quick. They're still, they still steer the ship for them, for sure. And, you know, they've rebuilt through the draft and through young players and then through free agency this summer with bringing in three guys, well, two and then one trade with Arvidsson, Dano, and Edler. So that gives them that experience factor. But they've got, in their whole system, they've got a lot of good young players, and they're, you know, moving them in.
I know you said you're pretty even keel emotion-wise, but when you look up there and see, having been in the building, you see those two banners, does that still kind of bring back the feelings for you?
Yeah, darn right. I mean, that's what it's about. You know, I've been lucky to be in four of those finals, and you know, some of the conference finals were better than the finals, quite honest. So, and it's the same thing when you go back to it here, too. I mean, that team in 04 doesn't get recognized enough for what they did here. I mean, all we hear about is the 1 year. They should recognize that a lot more. I mean, that team won the conference final and went to the Stanley Cup final. So, it's still, that's what it's about. I think just about, it's like when we play the Rangers in Jersey, those are the teams we played in the finals in LA. I have a tremendous amount of respect for those two teams because I played them in the finals, and I know what it's like to lose in the finals and the price you pay to get there. It's a tremendous one, and unless you've done there, been that, you can't explain it. And to be able to do it more than once is even more special. And to be able to, when you talk going back to LA, being able to do it, to win it in that building, is unique because what it, you know, what it did for, you know, what it was like.
What have Trevor Lewis and Brad Richardson brought to this team so far?
I think, you know, Brad's been hurt. You know, he missed camp, missed the start of the year, and they didn't get back in until after that, the first long trip. But since then, he's played well. He gives you that experience. He gives you that centerman that can dig in on faceoffs and gives you some power or penalty kill time. I think Louis is the same player as he was 10 years ago. You know, he's probably not quite as fast, but he thinks the game so well and he manages the game so well that he's still a really good player to me.
That's a pretty good compliment.
Yep.
Yeah.
Deciding the overtime combinations you want to have on the ice, what kind of goes into who you decide to play with who?
I think, you know, if you're just looking at the last game, I switched it around right away. I think first off, you're looking for who's going, right, and who can handle that situation. 3-on-3 is a totally different environment in terms of the game, and this is not a critique of our team at all, but we don't have the guy that's going to go coast to coast or go through somebody or bomb it or blast it and score. And if you look at the goals that have been scored against, that's what those goals are. So you have to try and do it as a team again, right? So you're trying to get guys that are hot or guys you know, like the other night we started Lindy and Mange and Chili. So prior to that, I always just put Johnny and Lindy and Ross. So, you know, I've thought about three forwards, and if you even looked at Pittsburgh the other night with guys like Sid and Jeff Carter, you know, there's times where they had 2D out there with one forward. So, you know, every team is different. You know, there's teams that will run the same three guys three times. But I think with the schedule and the further you go into it, and I've seen it once with ours where, you know, we got caught tired, and now it's much my fault as a player. I mean, I was the one who sent him back out there.
No, I'm good. That was great.
I have one quick one, Darryl. A number of media members around the league have sent things along the lines of, you want to ruin an otherwise good day, watch your favorite team play the Calgary Flames. Do you take pride in the fact that other teams and media members look at your team that way?
You have to have an identity. Really simple. I mean, we're trying to get the respect back in the league and an identity back, because it was, I watched this team. I've said this, right? I watched this team on TV enough. Right? They had to change the way they played. And when I came here, it's true. They were too slow of a team. The way the league had changed, they played too slow. It wasn't how fast the players skated. It was just how they didn't want to play at the pace that's necessary the way the league is, especially out here. The best teams are still Edmonton and Las Vegas, and there's a good reason. They're big, fast teams. So it's not based on one player. It's based on how your team has to play. And we're still working with that. We have guys here that, hey, I got to get them up to that. And they tail off, or they don't play, or they don't play as much. That's why. I can live with mistakes and everything, but you got to play a certain way to be successful in this league, and it bears fruit all the time.
There you go, the head coach of the Calgary Flames, Daryl Sutter, speaking to the media at the Saddle Dome today. that's a pretty classic Daryl media session, Riley. I think we've seen a couple of those on the text line at 960-960. You can tell how excited Daryl is. His pressers always crack me up. That one's from by. He's so, I don't want to say that he's predictable, Riley, because he's not. He'll catch you off guard. But I think you get a general sense of what Daryl's going to give you every time. Most coaches, are going to say the classic, I'm excited to go back, but I'm here for the Calgary Flames, the 2 points. Daryl does that, but he does it in his own way.
I really like that presser today. But yeah, he's not very excitable, Logo, for sure. But yeah, no, I thought he gave some good info there, and he's to the point. You ask him a straight-up question that has merit, he's going to answer it for you. And I thought he answered some good ones there.
Been that, done there, right?
Been that, done there.
Been that, done there.
Done there, been that. That was my favorite part.
Yeah, Daryl Sutter makes his return to L.A. tomorrow. Going to be exciting for him. He might not show it, but you can hear in his voice, and you can hear as he, dives into some of those questions, that he knows the process that it goes through, that you have to go through to win, and how special those are and what those banners mean. There was the question, I believe it was from Wes Gilbertson of Post Media there, who said, is it going to be special when you go back behind the bench and you look up and you see those two banners? He says, yep, because that's what it's all about. Can't ever take those away. Those are always, that's what it's about, right? That's what he's here in Calgary to do. That's what he's done in every stop of his NHL career. And it's about those. He's got two of them in LA. And regardless of whether he's coming back for Calgary or for anybody else, it'll be special for him. I think the LA fans will be very appreciative and happy to see Daryl back in LA tomorrow. Two other Flames players speaking to the media today, including Rasmus Anderson and Trevor Lewis. We'll hear from Trevor Lewis right now. I'll change things up on you there quickly, Riley. But Trevor Lewis, a guy that understands what Daryl's going to be going through. He spent time in LA there. He's won Stanley Cups. And it's been a long time for him with the pandemic and everything else. Since his last return to L.A., it'll be special for him. Brad Richardson, another guy. Milan Lucic has played time in L.A. Trevor Lewis, just one of the guys, one of those Daryl guys that we've talked about this season, who, because of that time, because of winning Stanley Cups, going through the processes with Daryl, were guys that he wanted to bring in and continue to bring that to Calgary. Lewis spoke a lot about the same things that Daryl did, returning to L.A., that special feeling that he'll get returning to Staples Center when the Flames take on the Kings tomorrow. Here's Trevor Lewis with the media today.
What do you think is going through your coach's mind as he goes back to L.A. for the first time and behind a bench after winning a couple cups there?
I mean, knowing him, it's probably getting the win. We've had a lot of great memories there and won two times there. So a lot of good relationships, and, we're going in there for a win, but be good to see some people after the game and say hi.
What's it going to be like for you?
I don't know. It's going to be different. I haven't been back. I don't think I've ever been in the visitor's locker room. So It's exciting. It'll be fun. You know, like I said, a lot of good memories there, a lot of good friendships, and spent a lot of time there. So I'm excited, but we want to get the 2 points first.
I don't want to disappoint you, but I've been in the visitors' locker.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not great. Yeah.
It's kind of been weird because you had a 56 game season where you didn't have a chance to go back, so it's been a while for you to be there. Like, it's just been kind of a strange couple of years. Does it feel weird that it's been as long as it's been that you're going back to LA?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you know, we went back there in the summers for the most part, and our kids kind of grew up there too. So, you know, it's. Doesn't feel like that long because I've been back there, but I'm sure once we get on the ice, it will bring back some memories.
They still have a lot of the core guys that were part of your championships there. Like, what type of challenge do you see the Kings presenting to your group the first time they play them this year?
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to make the playoffs too. I mean, they I've watched a few games. They look good. They look fast and young, and they look hungry. So, you know, they got good leadership there, and those guys will carry them a long way. So. We got to expect a hard game.
Trevor, people in that city watched you for a long time. Well, how do you hope you're kind of remembered for your contributions there?
Yeah, I mean, want to be remembered as a winner, you know, just coming back. And, you know, I think every time I go on the ice, I try to work as hard as I can and give everything I got. So, you know, I hope it's good ovation for sure.
You guys are 9-2-2 on the road. What has allowed this team to have so much success outside of Scotiabank Saddle?
Yeah. Well, I think we spent a lot of time on the road, and you get to spend a lot of time with guys. And obviously, I'm new here, coming in and meeting the guys. It's good to get that bonding in right off the bat. You spend a lot more time on the road together, and with dinners and everything like that. So, you know, the group's been great and very welcoming, and I think everyone's playing for each other. And we started with that kind of identity right off the bat, and you know that's kind of our foundation and what we stick to. And when we do, we're good.
Some teams have played simpler on the road than they have at home in the past. Do you think this team's played any differently on the road than they have at home?
No. I mean, obviously we played more on the road, but we try to play the same way every game. I think we want to be a hard team to play against, and you know. You know, when we play that way, we're good. So we try to play that the same way every time.
Darryl said that you're the same player you were 10 years ago in a league where consistency is so valued. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think when he came in, I learned a lot from him and just kind of gave me a role and be consistent at it. And I've kind of taken it and ran with it. And, you know, I try to prepare the same way for every game and do the same type of thing. So, yeah, I mean, it's good to hear for sure.
In terms of how the team is playing now under Darryl, how similar is it to those Kings teams that you played for under him?
Similar, for sure. I mean, systems are I mean, obviously there's a few things that are different, but, you know, we want to be a good checking team, which we were in L.A., and, you know, we want to have puck more than the other team and stuff like that. So it's pretty similar in that kind of ways. And it's obviously different guys doing it, but I mean, people do it different ways, but everyone's getting it done right now, and it's been good.
There you go. Trevor Lewis, the former LA King who won 2 Stanley Cups with Darryl Sutter, will make his first return to Staples Center tomorrow as the Flames kick off that 4-game road trip against the LA Kings. And Riley, it was one of those signings that I'm not sure brought along the biggest fanfare when it comes to the Flames offseason, but I've liked Trevor Lewis for what it's worth. He's not flashy. It doesn't show up in the points, but he's certainly fit in every spot that Darryl's put him in. I think he's an excellent penalty killer. He doesn't hurt you when he's out there. And if that means, you know, bringing him in and in this smaller role allows others to help buy in, then I'm all for guys like Trevor Lewis. Because, look, you know the work ethic is there. You know the effort on a day-to-day basis is going to be there, and you know the buy-in is there to what Darryl's trying to do. He's been a shrewd signing for the Flames this year.
Yeah, and ever since he's been put together on that line with Lucic and Richardson, they've been very responsible defensively, put a couple pucks in the net. They're never out of position. The three of them together has been a very good group. I mean, they're not going to score 30 goals together for this year. Maybe Lucic might.
I was going to say, but, don't be so sure.
I really like Trevor Lewis. He brings that veteran presence and not a whole lot of mistakes. Not a whole lot of nights where you're like, oh, bad night from Trevor Lewis. Doesn't really happen.
No, certainly hasn't. Last piece of Flames audio coming your way from the Dome today before the Flames headed out for their flight to California. Rasmus Anderson playing on the number one pairing for the team with Noah Hanifin. He's gotten some power play time, really stepped things up from what was probably a rocky year last year for him. He touches on a couple of different things doing the media rounds today, including that defensive mindset. Of course, the question come up to everybody about the coach and returning to L.A. And good to get a different perspective on it. Rass, you know, wasn't one of those L.A. guys. It'll be cool for some of those Flames players like Rasmus. And he mentions this, you know, to get a feel for it and to get an understanding of the impression you leave somewhere when you do the winning that Trevor Lewis and Daryl Sutter did in L.A. So we'll touch on that in a little bit more with Rasmus Anderson. He joined Flames media post practice today at the Scotiabank Saddledome.
What's kind of the mindset when you look at a trip and it's four straight division games? You guys haven't had a lot of those. What's sort of the mindset as you look at that lineup?
It's four division games. That's our mindset. And, you know, it's in division games, you know, it's kind of 4 points on the line. And, you know, if you want to be a playoff team, you got to keep those teams below you. And that's what we're going to try to do here. You know, we play four really good teams, and it's going to be four tough games. And but yeah, we just got to take game by game, and we start with LA.
We've talked more in this city in years past about catching teams above you than keeping them below you. What does the start mean, and what does it kind of allow you guys to do moving forward?
It means what you said. I mean, we got to keep teams below us, and. I don't know. I can't think how many games we played against our division. We started with Edmonton, lost, and Anaheim, and kind of we lost that too. We got 1 point, but that's kind of 4 points right away, or kind of 8 points right away. And so it feels like we got some catching up to do to beat the teams in our division. And you know, those are the fun games. Those are the kind of rivalry in your division. And you know, we look forward to the battles, and hopefully it's going to be a good road trip.
There's going to be a lot of focus on Daryl going back to L.A. What would you say is the biggest impact he's had on your group?
On our group?
Yeah.
Just the way he keeps us ready kind of every night. And, you know, there's no shifts off. There's no days off, like kind of like no days off when you're at the rink. And, you know, I know we talked a lot about the checking part, and you know, checking, not defending. And you know, we've been playing pretty good hockey so far this year, but we obviously want more. And I feel like you know, there's more to get. And you know, we're battling with Edmonton for the first spot, and you know, it's going to be a battle all year. And then you have to win division games.
Do you remember in your time here where game to game, kind of the team game has been as consistent as it's been so far this year?
Well, if it's anything, it's my first year, right, when we won the West. But other than that, I think the consistency part has been really good. I mean, even the nights we haven't played our best, we still won. I'm thinking of the Pittsburgh game in Pittsburgh and the Chicago game at home, you know, obviously the Chicago game, we came off a long road trip, and those, you know, we know those games are tough, but those games, we found a way to win those games, and that's huge. And you know, we're doing a good job as a team overall of staying with it. You know, even obviously we've scored a lot of first goals in the games, but you know. Except for the Winnipeg game, even in the third, you know, we've been up 1-0 or it's been tie. You know, it feels like we've been finding a way to get the next one and the next one. And, you know, it's that's obviously huge. And that we got to stick with that. And, you know, it's it feels good, obviously. We're in a good spot. And but as I said, we played a lot of East teams. And, you know, it feels like we're going to have a lot of division games to kind of catch up on, and you know, those are the games you got to win if you want to be a playoff team, and if you want to be a successful playoff team too, you gotta beat the teams in your division, because that's the way the playoffs is set up, right? So you know, we look forward to this road trip. As you said, it's four division games, and we start in LA.
Ras, generally speaking, do you find that teams from the East play different than teams from the West?
No, I mean, kind of yes and no. I mean, we haven't seen our own division in 2 years, so I mean, it's different. I mean, I don't know. It's a hard question too. If you look at our division, you got Edmonton with Connor and Leon, which is arguably the two best players in the world, and you know, you have Vancouver with a lot of skill, LA, you know, heavier team, Anaheim, really good young team, playing really well right now, and we haven't seen Seattle yet, you know, so it's, we haven't seen a bunch of these teams, and it feels like forever, so, you know, you kind of look at the lineup, and you're like, oh, I don't really know, I don't recognize that name, last year was his first year, but you were so caught up in your division last year, and you kind of just looked in your division last year, so it wasn't like, so like getting to know these teams again, it's, you know, when you look at the lineup, you know, you still see Kopitar, you still see like the really good players, and you know, but if they play different, I think when it's a division game, it gets harder at one point, like it feels like more is on the line kind of thing, and you know, every game should feel like that, that's not what I'm saying, but it feels like it's a little bit more battle in the division games, for sure.
A lot of focus on Darryl going back to LA this week, but what about the other guys who were members of that Kings run that won two Stanley Cups? So whether it be Brad Richardson, Milan Lucic, Trevor Lewis, what has that group of guys brought to this team?
Well, obviously a lot. I mean, I play with Lucic now for 3 years. You know, I consider him a close friend, and you know, he's the ultimate team guy, and I think everyone saw that a couple of games ago when he let Lou score that goal, and but that's what Lucic does, and you know, we got nothing but good things to say about that entire line, and Lou and Richie has come in with a lot of good energy and a lot of good experience, and you know, it's the kind of guys, you know, you look up to, you know, they've won, and they've been part of good teams for a long time, and that line and that entire line has played really well for us.
It strikes me that every guy in that room probably considers Lucic to be a good friend. Like, yeah. Is that the kind of guy he is?
Yeah, that's the kind of guy he is, and, you know, it's he's that kind of guy, you know, he's loud, like, not loud, he's loud in the room, but in a good way, and you know, if it's a tight game, you know, he's the one that talks in the room, and he's the one who, you know, brings so much leadership and experience. And, you know, as I said, he won. And so it's a guy you look up to. And we have a lot of guys like that. You know, we got Bax, Tanny, Monty, Chucky. Like, you know, we got a lot of good leaders in our team and a lot of players who steps up when it's a tie game or if we're down one or, you know, it's – if it's a tough night, you know, we got guys who steps up, and I think that's been part of our consistency to start the year.
There you go, Rasmus Anderson wrapping up the Flames media availability from the Scotiabank Saddledome. The team traveling this afternoon to California and getting set for the first game of back-to-back tonight, starting tomorrow against L.A., Friday against the Anaheim Ducks. We'll take a break, come back on the other side. Let's catch up with Sam Cosentino. He does a lot of draft analysis for Sportsnet, but he's done some color commentary across the NHL. We'll get some thoughts on some storylines around the league with Sam Cosentino, plus with Team Canada announcing their World Junior Camp selection roster. We'll dive into some of those questions with Sam Cosentino. He's coming up next when Sportsnet Today returns here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We'll be joined by Sam Cosentino of Sportsnet coming up in just a few moments. We'll get his look at the Calgary Flames and some stories around the NHL, but we'll also dive into Hockey Canada announcing their World Junior Selection Camp roster. Camp begins December 9th right here in the city of Calgary. Some names on that list that you'll be familiar with. First overall pick of the Buffalo Sabres, Owen Power. Shane Wright, who many have projected to go number one overall in the 2022 draft. Connor Bedard, potentially the number one overall pick in 2023. He was just here with the Regina Pats when they took on the Calgary Hitmen. We'll dive into some of those names coming up in just a couple moments here with Sam Cosentino of Sportsnet. It is Sportsnet today. Logan Gordon, Riley Pollock along with you leading up to 2 o'clock when Pat and Will take over for the big show. Riley, is it rain out there? Looks like a little bit of rain. Not the nicest day in the city of Calgary.
No, weather-wise, I'll still take it, like, in terms of temperature.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, a little wet out there. Could turn into snow. Not a fan. But as long as the temperature's still all right, snow away, Calgary.
Yeah, we're doing pretty good here. Not too bad for December 1st. 2021, no white stuff on the ground when it comes to the city of Calgary. So I think we're all doing okay in that department. Just a reminder to you, the fan feedback line is always open for your questions, comments, concerns, show quotes. Do you want to tell Riley how good he looks today? You can always send that through at 960-960. We'll get some of your texts as the afternoon goes on. Wanted to read this one for you, Riley, and just get some of your thoughts. This is an interesting one here. This texter sent in, do you think if the Kings start to trail off towards the end of the season and are not in a playoff picture where they sell some of their veteran players and do so, anybody on that roster of the Flames would look at adding for a reunion with Daryl? And I think that's an interesting one because I think the presumption comes along with, you know, oh, it's Daryl's team and Daryl's making the decisions and, you know, it's got to be a Daryl guy. I don't think that's always the case. I think when it comes to the right guys, like a Richardson or a Lewis or, you know, even a good Branson, I think he's going to have his opinion. And I think a good coach should always have his opinion, Riley, when it comes to who he's coaching. But I don't know that, like, Daryl's separated from LA for a while now. Right, he mentioned the sort of core four there of Quick, Doughty, Kopitar,
and Dustin Brown.
I don't think he has a lot of connections in LA still from that perspective. And I think at the end of the day, Daryl, if this team does look to add, I think Daryl at this point, the messaging from bringing in his guys is starting to hit home. I don't think that needs to constantly be reinforced.
Yeah, and if you look at the contracts of a lot of those guys, maybe Dustin Brown to play some right wing on that third line might be the best option.
And that's a stretch.
He's 5.8 mil this year and then a UFA, so it's a rental.
Rental, yeah.
But everyone else on that list, Jonathan Quick, 5.8 for two more years, not bringing him in, obviously. Drew Doughty, 11 million for six more seasons, not bringing that in. Anze Kopitar, 10 mil for three more seasons, not bringing that in. So I guess if you're going to talk about players that he played or he coached while winning cups there, I guess Dustin Brown would be the option, but he's 37 years old.
Can he play top 6 minutes here?
I think he would be the third or fourth line right winger.
Yeah. So interesting thought, though, and I understand why the sentiment comes from that texter. I certainly understand why people feel that way and have that inclination to think of, you know, the connections to Daryl right away. I don't know if there's any in LA. Maybe there's other ones throughout the league that we haven't talked about.
Jeff Carter has been brought up a few times.
To play center?
Well, I guess.
Maybe.
Have to be some, yeah, I don't know.
Penguins would have to be out of it, though.
I know that Pat's been asked about it on the post-game call-in show a couple times. About Jeff Carter.
That's an interesting name. I have to think about that. Some of the text here at 960-960. Snowing up here in Red Deer, boys. It's coming. It is snowing, dummy. It's not snowing where we are.
Yeah, still raining downtown. Yeah. So weather is different in different places of the city.
To be fair, it's not snowing where I'm looking out the window. Riley, you look terrific. I would agree. Just came through Bicycle and it's snowing heavy. I guess it is coming. Shouldn't say that it's not here because I guess it does depend on where you're currently looking at it. But to the one texter saying it is snowing down, it's not snowing where I am. Tough. Joined by Sam Cosentino in a couple of moments here. Some thoughts on the Calgary Flames. A couple thoughts on Hockey Canada announcing their World Junior Championship roster. Selection roster. The World Junior Hockey Championships take place December 26th. Gold medal game January 5th. The tournament this year in Edmonton and Red Deer, where apparently it is starting to snow, according to the text line. We go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline right now, and we do welcome in from Sportsnet the one, the only, Sam Cosentino. Sam, happy afternoon, man. How are you?
Yeah, doing great. Thanks. Thanks for having me on. Lots of news today.
Tons of news today, and I know you've been doing more. We talked about this last time with you. You've been more involved in some of the games, doing some color commentary and whatnot, but I guess I would just ask you from afar, what have you made of this Calgary Flames team here?
Well, pretty awesome, to be honest with you. I mean, it's amazing that Darryl Sutter could impart his ways so quickly, and that probably speaks to making the coaching change last year to allow him to kind of get his fingerprints on the team. Also help out with a couple of giving advice on a couple of acquisitions, former Kings guys and Lewis and Richardson, to kind of shore up the bottom half of the lineup. And they're doing exactly what Darryl Sutter teams do. They're tough, they're physical, they're difficult to play against, they're very defensive minded, and they're doing a great job so far and still getting production from their top guys. So it's been kind of neat to watch, because it's a transition of sorts when you think about, you know, Giordano and Brody going back to a couple of years ago, and how it's transitioned, and watching Shillington, you know, come a ways, and watching guys like Valimaki continue to progress. So it's been fun to watch so far, and it's already playing playoff hockey, and that should bode well down the stretch here, and as we move into the kind of the second quarter of the season, if you will.
One guy that the Flames won't see tomorrow when they take on the LA Kings is Brendan Lemieux. He got involved with Matthew's brother Brady the other night and wound up getting himself a five-game suspension for biting. It was funny, Sam, me and Riley were talking about this not long ago, going back to that incident, remembering back in the day when Brendan and Brady's fathers fought at a World Cup for Canada and the USA. Some things never change, hey?
Well, no question. I mean, he is a Lemieux, which would be an answer to a lot of questions. And he is a Kachuk, which would be another answer to a lot of questions. But I don't know. We talked about it on our show last night. I said two games. I think there was a bit of precedence for that going back to years when it hasn't happened often. But if you just strip yourself from NHL culture for 5 minutes and think to yourself, two guys are allowed to go and punch each other in the face for a minute and a half and get a five-minute rest, and somebody bites somebody and gets five games. I don't know. It seems a little bit odd to me. It really does. And, yeah, I know it's not accepted in the game, and fighting is, and whatever else. But, like I said, if you strip yourself from NHL culture, it's kind of weird to think that someone got five games for biting somebody.
It certainly is. Another storyline that produced itself yesterday, the New Jersey Devils were excited to get Jack Hughes back in their lineup, and they doubled down their fan base's excitement, signing him to an 8-year, $64 million contract. He's just 20 years old, finishing up his entry-level contract. What did you make of the Devils making a long-term commitment to Jack Hughes?
Well, too much too soon, but I sort of get why they did it. I mean, you saw the contract negotiations that went with his brother Quinn that forced him to miss camp, and you felt at some point that was going to happen either on a bridge or getting a long-term down the road. And if that long-term happened a little later and he comes back to play like he did before he got hurt, you're probably looking at more dollars and cents. You know, having said all that, there is a reason why you have this 3-year period of an entry-level deal, and then you have some time up to, you know, arbitration time after that before you become unrestricted. So I look at it as too much too soon. 119 games, has been injured for chunks in two of the 3 years that he's played. Having said all that, in 3 years from now, we're going to be able to answer that question as to whether or not it's a deal. And again, if he produces like he produced before he got hurt and he remains healthy, in 3 years, $8 million is probably going to look like a value contract for the player. There is some speculation on the part of management. You know, Tom Fitzgerald's thinking that, hey, we're going to be the 90s Cleveland baseball team where we get our Jim Tomes and Carlos Baerga signed to long-term deals before they're due the money, and hope that by the middle to the end of the term of the contract, that it pays its dividends. So I do understand that line of thinking as well.
I wanted to get your thoughts on Lucas Raymond. He was named the NHL's Rookie of the Month for November, scored 5 goals and 12 points in 14 games. Were the Red Wings or anybody really expecting Raymond at 19 years old to come in after playing in Frölunda last season to have this sort of impact immediately on this Red Wings team, Sam?
I don't think anyone would have seen it coming. I think they obviously thought very highly of him. You know, they've done a good job scouting in Sweden over the years. When you think about Håkan Andersson and all the players that they've, drafted out of Sweden and had a lot of success with, especially in the late rounds. But when it comes to Lucas Raymond, everything was there to say that he was going to be a successful NHL player. I didn't know that he'd be mature enough to be able to handle the rigors of what the season has to offer. Here we are a couple months into the season. He's proving me and probably a lot of other people wrong as well. But it's a nice sign to see, you know, a Detroit team that we have come to know and expect to be in the playoffs for all that time take a downturn over the last couple of years, and it looks like they're back on the rise there with Steve Yzerman at the helm.
Well, and it's sort of against the Detroit mantra that we've known for so long, right, Sam? It was always, even for the European prospects, you make your way over, you spend your time in the AHL and season yourself, and when you come up, you're ready to play. It's not something that they're hard and fast to stick by, but that's usually the Detroit Red Wing model of doing things.
Yeah, I mean, typically to overcook your prospects was the way it was described, and you go back to the days of Ken Holland, and that's exactly what happened. And Ken Holland, to a certain extent, is doing the same thing with Edmonton right now. So Steve Yzerman obviously learned from that, but was also open-minded enough to say, hey, we know what we like. We like what we see. We're going to continue to give this player opportunity as long as he continues to produce for us. And that relationship has worked well so far. So I like the fact that it's not just a single-minded thought process, that there is some leeway to allow the player himself to really make the decision about when, where, and what his own timeline is for him to be successful in the NHL.
Sam, wanted to get your thoughts on a couple of World Junior rosters as selection camps for Canada beginning December 9th here in Calgary. We also seen Team USA submit their preliminary roster. A quick one on the U.S. one, because here in Calgary, a lot of people are going to be focused on Matthew Coronato. He makes the transition from the USHL to NCAA hockey. In your experience, what is that like, and how is it for Matthew to transition his game? What's the hardest thing for him to have to adapt to making that change?
Well, I think it was helpful last year that the USHL was a league that I think was better than it has been typically because of COVID. There were players even from that we saw from the WHL that went and played in the USHL. The league was a little bit older than it typically is, and the teams in general there were better. And so that level of competition allowed someone like Coronato to be prepared for what the NCAA is now throwing at him in terms of older, bigger, faster, stronger competition, yet higher skill levels as well. So I think last year was huge in the development of Coronato for that to happen. But this guy's he's a real worker bee player, and I think one thing that's going to transition or translate as you make the jump from one league to the next is your work rate and your competitive, your compete. And so those two things, no doubt, translate very well for Coronato. They will continue to translate throughout the course of his career as he jumps from going to, USHL to NCAA, NCAA eventually to the National Hockey League.
Team Canada announcing their 35-man roster today. Some notable names on there, and I think a lot of people interested by the fact, and I asked our good friend Peter Labardius about this a little earlier, Sam, and he sends his regards, but I asked him about the potential to see 3 first overall picks on one Team Canada roster. Of course, I'm talking about Owen Power, who went number 1 overall to Buffalo. People think highly of Shane Wright and Connor Bedard in that same aspect, but I guess it's probably the biggest uphill battle for Bedard as a 16-year-old to make this Team Canada roster.
Yeah, no question. I mean, traditionally it's been tough for 16-year-olds, and then you add the fact that he's had a good season, but not the same type of season that he had going back to when he was 15 years old and got to play in the bubble and was sheltered a little bit. So it is a little bit different for Connor this year. Having said that,
you know, there's pretty good track record internationally with what he did at the under-18s. And I thought Alan Miller, the director of player personnel for this group, said it best when he said, hey, we saw this guy put up 4 points in preliminary round play. And then in the playoff rounds, he put up 10 points. And it speaks volumes as his for his ability to rise as the competition and as the games become more meaningful. So really, really excited to see what he's able to do here. Really interested because, like I said, he's had a good but not a great year in Regina to this point.
Chatting with Sam Cosentino of Sportsnet here on Sportsnet Today. I'm Logan Gordon, and I'm joined, as always, by Riley Pollock. Riley, you got a couple for Sam?
Oh, of course I do on World Junior Day. Cole Perfetti being loaned to Canada, how big is that for this Canadian team after he didn't get the gold last year?
It becomes increasingly more important knowing that there are players that won't be released from their NHL clubs, like Seth Jarvis, like Cole Sillinger. You know, Byfield's hurt. You look at the two Philly prospects and Tyson Forrester and Zade Wisdom, and so you're missing out on all of that professional experience. So it does give you some pro-level experience for sure. He and a couple of others have played NHL games. You know, Hendrix Lapierre, he's got his first NHL goal under his belt, so too does Mason McTavish. And so those things are definitely helpful. But maybe more importantly for Cole's inclusion is the fact that, hey, there's only one returning forward, and he's the guy. So while he played an offensive role last year, his tournament kind of got better as it went along. I'd expect him to jump right out of the gates and be a top-line producer for Canada right away. So no question, it was super, super important. And to be honest with you, from Winnipeg Jets' perspective, I think it's hugely important for his development as well, and I think that's a win-win situation.
Is there anyone on this camp list that maybe is not being talked about a whole bunch that could make a huge impact for this Canadian team this year?
Well, it's funny. I look at Ryan Teverberg, and I don't know much about him playing at UConn, but I do remember him playing in the under-16 loop here in Ontario the same year that Shane Wright played above his age group, and they ended up winning what's known as the OHL Cup, which is the under-16 OHL championship. So I do remember him from that time, and he was a highly regarded player at that point. He ends up going to the seventh round in the draft to the Toronto Maple Leafs, and so he's a guy that's going to be pretty fascinating for me. But I really like Jack Thompson is a guy with the Sudbury Wolves. You know, they've gone through the COVID stuff, so it'll be interesting to see if he's able to participate on the first day of camp and right through to camp. But he's a really, really interesting guy. And I look at this Sudbury franchise, and I think about Isaac Phillips, how he made the jump to get into NHL games, partially because he was able to play in the American Hockey League due to COVID and the OHL not playing. And I think Jack Thompson is a guy that probably not a lot of people know about. Yet when you're drafted by Tampa, that tells me something right off the hop. And when you're you know, in a situation where you didn't get to play last year like you would have, then I, you know, I have high hopes and high thoughts about his game.
And for Thompson, one of just two right shot defensemen invited to camp, does that help him out a little bit as well?
Yeah, no question. I mean, you know, most coaches prefer to have that left-right balance. That's obviously not going to be the case. They're going to play with that probably 3-8-14, you know, formatted lineup, meaning 8D and 14 forward. So there has to be a spot for both righties when it comes to being able to select, you know, 8 defensemen.
And I just wanted to ask you about a big trade in the WHL today. Caden Gooley going to the Oil Kings. They're really loading up to take a run at Winnipeg this year, hey?
Well, you know, you looked at Edmonton at the start of the year and you felt that they were going to be unflappable. And then as time wore on and Jake Neighbors didn't come back, you thought, oh, okay. Well, I think everyone was expecting him to come back. So then, of course, he does come back from St. Louis. And, you know, it had been rumored for a while that Caden Gooley was going to get moved. You look at Prince Albert. They thought they were going to get a two-year run there with what happened in 2018 and again in 2019. But because of the truncated season, that 2019 thing wasn't going to be available to them. So you're sitting with two great assets in Ozzie Weisblatt and Caden Gooley, and you think in order to get to the future a lot quicker for Curtis Hunt and Mark Habscheid, this was a move that they had to make, and it was imminent. And, of course, you do it on the day when you know you're not going to be with the player for a month. So good on Curtis Hunt for being able to do that. But Ozzie Weisblatt for sure would be the next one to fall in that regard.
And then just moving back to the NHL quickly here, Jake DeBrusque, I'm sure you saw a lot of him coming up as a WHL player with Swift and then I think with Red Deer to finish off his season. What do you see as a team that fits for him, and what does he bring to an NHL club, as obviously he's requested a trade this week?
Yeah, and that's another one of those situations where you could kind of see it coming. He's kind of bounced up and down the lineup, and you know his ability to play with consistently top-end players hasn't always been afforded him. Now, Jake has to accept some responsibility for that as well. But in the long run, I think if you get him into a comfy situation where he can play top 6 minutes, he's a goal-scoring winger, and those things they're difficult to find. What's you know interesting about Jake is that he does have some track record producing and playing playoff style of hockey, and I think that's attractive to a lot of clubs, especially knowing how heavy things got last year. Once we got into the Final Four, you look at how heavy the D were with both Montreal and Tampa, and you're thinking, okay, this is an opportunity here for a team to pick up a guy who has playoff experience, who's produced in the playoffs, can play playoff style hockey, and is a guy who probably fits in most teams' top six, if not for sure in the middle six. So I think the teams, last I read, I want to say 12 teams were interested, and that doesn't surprise me at all.
Sam, just two more quick ones for you. I wanted to touch quickly on the goaltending for Canada. This is something Peter Laborde brought up, something they don't always do, but there won't be any competition when it comes to when these guys come to Calgary. These are the three that they're going to go with in Brochu, Kosa, and Garand. Anybody that you see as a front runner, is it Kosa there with the high draft status, or is it Garand coming back from last year?
Well, it has to be Garand, I think, just because he's a returning guy. So when you've been through it, you have a leg up on the competition. You know, having said that, Brett Brochu is a guy I've watched who's an amazing story, who basically came out of nowhere, and I mean nowhere, junior C hockey, to be a successful OHL goalie. He went to camp, and he wasn't good in camp last year, and surely the fire in his belly will allow him, as it did to make him the jump from junior C into the OHL, to really put forth some serious competition. Now, everyone's going to sit there and say, oh, it's Kosa, it's in Edmonton, he's a 6'7 guy, he's a first-rounder, he's going to be given the net to lose. But honestly, when I look at Dave Cameron, I don't think he looks at size, I don't think he looks at pedigree, I think he looks at the guy who he thinks is best going to be able to stop pucks. So I'm really interested in that competition. Having said all that, from the mental side of things, having been there, I do believe Garand has a slight edge.
And just a quick thought, should mention this as well. We did bring it up with Lou as well, but I wanted to get your take on it. Jeff Merrick, our colleague, did mention yesterday that he didn't expect Brant Clark to be on the Team Canada roster. That was confirmed today. Just a thought on the LA Kings draft pick not being on this roster for Canada?
Logan, I think you have to look. When you give up your time to the program of excellence, one of the things you have to be is a conformist, meaning you have to do all the things that are required of you. So that's showing up on time, if not early. It's making your buses. It's, eating properly. It's doing your workouts. It's, showing up in the right clothes. It's doing all the things that you're asked to do, doing drills properly. You have to become a conformist, and that's not for everybody. And I'm not saying that Brant is a nonconformist, but I do think there were some things at the under-18s that Hockey Canada took note of, because there's always a debriefing, and they thought, well, you know what? He's still eligible to come back for next year. He's a guy that we want to continue to watch progress in terms of his maturity and someone we still have high hopes for, but he's probably just not right for this team. So having said all that, I think there's lessons to be learned from both sides. I know the Kings will be disappointed. Obviously, Brant will be disappointed, but it's not at all shameful to not be included in this wonderful group, at the end of the day, getting it even down to that group of eight.
What's on the docket for the rest of the week for you, Sam? Are you out calling any games for Sportsnet?
No, I'm pretty excited, actually. I'm going to Owen Sound, Ontario tomorrow. It's about a 2.5-hour drive for me. We're doing a piece on Hockey Day, for Hockey Day, which comes up on January 29th. So going to be interviewing a bunch of people around there. Really looking forward to it. Love the town. had a lot of history with the people there, watched a lot of their kids grow up from the Jordan Benningtons to the Joey Hishens, the Garrett Wilsons, you know, all kinds of different players that have gone through there. So I'm going to hang out up there tomorrow, do a bunch of interviews, put a piece together for Hockey Day, and then back in the shop Friday night for all of our action on Sportsnet.
Love to hear it, Sam. Thanks so much for the time. We really do appreciate it, man. Take care. Enjoy your trip up to Owen Sound, and we'll chat with you down the line again. Thanks.
All right, Logan, Riley, thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks. There you go. Sam Cosentino of Sportsnet joining us down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Lots to talk to with Sam there. He's on the NHL desk some nights. He's calling games, Riley, and always just fantastic knowledge when it comes to Sam about any young prospect, any young guys coming up through the NHL, because odds are Sam has seen them and gone in-depth on them when it comes to their draft status or as they get closer to it, and the perfect guy to bring on today as Hockey Canada announced their roster for Edmonton and Red Deer.
This has been, like, maybe my favorite show we've done so far, Logo. I've got to talk World Juniors for an entire about hour and a half now. Couldn't be happier. Can't wait for the actual tournament to start and camp to get rolling.
Sam's one of the best. Appreciate him taking some time to join us on the program today. We'll take a break, come back on the other side, get you some news and notes from around the sports world. Reset Flames practice from today as they get set to head out to California today for their game against the LA Kings tomorrow night. And we'll get you set for the big show coming up at 2 o'clock with Pat and Will. All that and more as Sportsnet Today continues here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.